know what God is going to say to us and how he's going to say it to us. But today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how our friends and those around us influence our decisions. So we're going to talk about how those around us may impact our lives. I mean, now guys, don't get scared. If you look to the left and right of you and think, oh my gosh, is that who's impacting my life? Don't get freaked out this morning now. You might need to move seats or something if you're sitting by one of those bad influences. But hey, we are influenced by those that we hang out with, those that we call our friends. You know, even our enemies sometimes can influence. And that's what we're going to talk about today is how to have some discernment, how to have some wisdom and question advice we get sometimes, question, you know, does this line up with what perhaps the Bible says we should be doing? And that's a difficult thing often because one thing, we don't know Scripture well enough ourselves. And then some people know just enough Scripture to be dangerous when they're talking to you in these situations. And they'll take it out of context and mess it up. But now, we have one of the most wonderful tools in the world for learning anything. Now, how many of you got one of these little smartphones in your pocket? Yay! How many of you know how to use Google? You can learn anything from there. The problem is, you can Google, you know, any answer, anything you want to know about. You can get an answer on Google, and then you can scroll down the page and find something that is the exact opposite of that answer. Is that the truth? You can go down through there and say, yes, this is what you need to do, steps A, B, and C, and then somebody else will reply, oh my goodness, no, steps A, B, and C, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. Don't ever do that. So we're left with this questioning all the time of how we determine the path in life. Yes, we can read Scripture, we can pray, but you know, when we start getting those inputs from the world around us, how do we discern whether that's from God or not? And let's start out with just a little fun video this morning. Sean, can you hit my video for me, please?
I don't get it, Shrek. Why don't you just pull some of that ogre stuff on him? You know, throttle him, lay siege to his fortress, grind his bones to make your bread. You know the whole ogre trip.
Oh, I know what. Maybe I could have decapitated an entire village and put their heads on a pike, got a knife, cut open their spleen, and drink their fluids. Does that sound good to you?
No, not really, no.
For your information, there's a lot more to ogres than people think.
Example?
Example? Okay, ogres are like onions.
They stink?
Yes. No.
Oh, they make you cry?
No.
Oh, you leave them out in the sun, they get all brown, start sprouting little white hairs.
No! Layers! Onions have layers. Ogres have layers. Onions have layers? You get it. We both have layers.
Oh, you both have layers. Oh. You know, not everybody likes onions.
Cake! Everybody loves cakes. Cakes have layers.
I don't care what everyone likes.
How many of you have friends like that? That they start analyzing the situation before they even know what's going on? Yes, you need to be an ogre and go march on their village. Oh, but that doesn't sound so good now that I've said that, does it? You know, they really don't understand us. And that's what Shrek is trying to tell Donkey. You really don't know who I am. You don't understand the complexities of my life. You don't understand where I'm at in life. And many times we have friends that don't understand us, especially for many of you, if you're a newer Christian, you've just come to start following Jesus, and you still have friends out there that don't follow Jesus, man, that is a tough situation to be in, or perhaps they're of a different religion or something like that. They will start giving you advice, and you'll be saying, but that's not what I'm hearing at church, is what these guys are telling me. They're not understanding where you're at in life. Just like, you know, Donkey was quick, and he was well-meaning in this case to give Shrek some advice of how he should be doing things, and then he realizes, hey, I don't know everything about this guy. Maybe, you know, and Shrek is telling him, hey, you don't know me as well as you think. But, you know, why in the world would we show a video of a talking donkey in church? It's funny. Hey, that's good enough for me. It's funny. What else? Anybody know a story about a talking donkey? Come on. Anybody? Balaam. There is a guy named Balaam in the Bible, and we're going to see in a minute how a donkey talks to him. Now, isn't that freaky? But just think about this in the context of what we're talking about this morning. Is sometimes our friends don't understand us as well as they think they do and would lead us and have us make bad decisions. And that's where we're going to start out with this story of Balaam. And I want to get more than just the typical story we hear of Balaam. You know, and I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. If you guys want to go ahead and start turning there, it's Numbers chapter 22. reading it from the NLT so everybody doesn't giggle as I say ass for donkey all day. Okay? It's a modern translation. It says donkey. We don't really use the other word. But hey, if you teach middle school kids, if you want to get their attention, you read the New King James or King James Version where it still refers to the animal as ass, and they will laugh the entire time and pay attention. But hey, you know, that's just the way it is. It's one of those rare opportunities you get to say that and not get in trouble, okay? But we're talking about a donkey today, an animal, a stubborn animal. Anybody remember, you know, Donkey in the Shrek movies? He was kind of stubborn, wasn't he? He was had a little stubborn, maybe not so much as Shrek himself, but they're both kind of stubborn people, stubborn characters. And so we're going to look at that today. But what we really want to talk about is what happens when our friend's advice doesn't match God's plan. And that's the story we're going to pick up with Balaam this morning, is how he has this vision of what he's supposed to do, and his friends are trying to get him to do something different, and there's a very complex situation behind all this that we're going to talk about, and hopefully go a little more in-depth in this story than you've ever gone and get a little better understanding out of it. But since that is our goal today, is a little deeper understanding of God's Word and what this actually means to us, let's just take a moment and let's pray that God will reveal that to us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for everyone here this morning. Thank you about this crazy story of how you used an animal to intercede in someone's life, God, and just pray that we'll get past the basic story, God, and see today what was really going on and what motivated Balaam's heart and what motivated his friends, and see, God, how we can apply that today in our lives and know how not to be motivated and how to discern what's wise counsel when someone is teaching us wisely and giving us good advice, God. Just pray that you'll be with us this morning as we learn those things, for it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, guys, let's dive right into some scripture this morning from Numbers chapter 22, starting with verse 1. You can also follow along. I suppose it's on YouVersion this morning. I don't know if we've popped that up there yet, but you can follow along in YouVersion. It'll have the scriptures there. You can make notes and things like that. But just be sure at the end of that session, just a little YouVersion tutorial here. If you go and you put those notes in YouVersion, go ahead and email it to yourself, because it is very difficult, if not impossible, to go back and find these past messages online in YouVersion. I'm not even sure how to do that myself. So the best thing to do is, if you want to go along and take notes in YouVersion on your electronic device at the end of the session before you close out, just email it to yourself, and that way you'll have your notes, and that way it'll be available. And then later, for you that are guests, our teaching series are always online. It may be a few days after the actual teaching, but you can find those online at our website if you're interested in looking at that. Let's go to Numbers chapter 22. It says, "Then the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River across from Jericho." Let's pause there for just a second to set this story up. The children of Israel had been released by God in several miracles that he did in their presence from their bondage in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. You may remember, I often refer to that movie, The Ten Commandments, because so many people have seen it over the years, of what it looked like for God's people to flee Egypt. And they were forced out into the desert as they fled away from Egypt. And now they're wandering around. One of the things that to me was the most amazing about that movie was when you look back and see what a multitude of people that really is. This is a huge, for lack of a better word, it looks like a swarm of God's people coming over the land where they live there. And so they're a very intimidating force if you see them coming across the land. And that's where we pick up with Balak. Balak, the son of Zippor, the Moabite king, had seen everything the Israelites did to the Amorites. That was one of the peoples that Israel conquered in their quest to go to the Promised Land. And when the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were, they were terrified. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Pethor near the Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me, because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless, and curses fall on the people you curse." Balak's messengers, who were elders of Moab and Midian, set out with money to pay Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. They went to Balaam and delivered Balak's message to him. Now, is there anything there that sounds suspicious to you already? Just what little you know about the Bible. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you've you followed Christ for a long time and just don't know some of these Old Testament stories and things. Does it sound out of character if it was something that God wanted to happen that you would have to go and pay a dude to see it happen? Does that really sound right? Today we call those guys TV evangelists. You know, you send me the money and I'll make this happen for you. As a matter of fact, guys, this very morning, it's kind of warm up here. I've got one of those sweaty prayer hankies I will sell you afterwards. And you can be blessed because that's the way God works, isn't it? We sell these things and we sell God's blessings to those people that are too stupid to know better. Hey, come on, that's not the way God works. That's not his character. So what is this deal with Balaam? What kind of prophet was he? I think of him like in the Old West. He was a gunslinger for hire. He didn't care which side he was on. He just knew he could get paid to do it. So he wasn't really a true prophet of God, although God's going to use him. And that's what confuses us sometimes in Scripture, is God uses anything he can to accomplish his purposes. And it may not look like we think it should. So now what has happened here is Balak has sent these people with money to Balaam. And Balaam's friends wanted to use him to accomplish something for them. Now, how many of you have ever had a friend who just comes around when they need something? Yeah, let's think about our own personal cases here. You don't see them for a year, 6 months, whatever. You don't even see them on Facebook or Twitter, or they don't text you. You don't hear anything from them. Then all of a sudden, something happens and they need something. And what is it? Well, you're my best friend. Won't you help me? I'm your best friend. You haven't spoken to me in 6 months to a year, but you need my help? You know, automatically, guys, in our lives, that should raise a red flag that this person is fixing to take advantage of us if we give them the opportunity. Now, I'm all for helping people that need help. Don't get me wrong there. But I'm also for us protecting ourselves and looking out against those people that are just coming to devour us and our resources and really don't care anything about us, care about God. All they care about is themselves and how they get what they want out of the deal. And you need to be aware of those people in your life. And sometimes they're there and we put up with them for a long time trying to help them until finally God shows us that we're actually oftentimes enabling a very devastating lifestyle for them by helping them sometimes. They're coming up to us for help to enable them to do something that is really destroying them and their lives and their families. I see that a lot in those that I've counseled that have substance abuse problems and that sort of thing. They've run through all of their money, their parents' money, and then they're bumming off their friends. They're trying to live with them. They're trying to do all these things. And we think, well, gosh, we can't just put them out on the street. We've got to help them. But what you're doing by doing that sometimes is you're enabling them to continue down a destructive path that's going to lead to either death or jail. That's where that path leads when you get to that point in your life. And so we need to be careful of those who just come needing something. So here's what Balaam did. Here's his response. He says, "Stay here overnight," Balaam said. "In the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say." Which kind of seems funny. He calls him Lord. And we know he doesn't really know him. But do you think maybe he's learned to speak the language? He knows those inside clicky Christian terms that you use. Let's call him Lord, you know. Let you know how I'm submissive to him and whatever he wants to do. So the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam that night. God came to Balaam and asked him, "Who are these men visiting you?" As if God didn't know. That always, when he asks, it's like, well, I think that's just if you're going to tell him the truth. Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I will be able to stand up to them and drive them from the land." But God told Balaam, "Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they've been blessed." The next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak's officials, "Go on home. The Lord will not let me go with you." So the Moabite officials returned to King Balak and reported, "Balaam refused to come with us." So here's the first hit at trying to get Balaam's help. We've brought him some money. We've told him the situation. He says, "I've got to ask God about this." God comes and actually speaks directly to him and says, "No, you're not going to curse these people. These are people I've blessed." And just to get you a little more rich history from the Old Testament, these are some of the descendants of two guys named Abraham and Lot. These were people that God had promised blessings upon. They weren't necessarily those that had been captive in Egypt, but they were still wandering out in the land, small tribes or whatever, and God had already promised them blessings. So God had promised them blessings, so he is not going to let someone curse them on his behalf. So that gives you just a little background in, you know, everyone back then that was a follower of God, that was a Jew, was not captive in Egypt. There were still some that were out free, and that's a group of these people. And that's the reason God said, I'm not going to let you curse them because I've blessed them. So they've come, they've got no for an answer. Balak is not going to be happy because sometimes friends don't take no for an answer. That makes it very difficult. They play on our friendship. They try and come like we were talking about, taking advantage of us, trying to get us to do things. And they will keep on and on and on till they get their way. This is where we can give relationship advice. This is even harder when your friend is a female or male and they're called what? A boyfriend or girlfriend. They will keep on till they get you to do whatever they want you to do. And they will keep on and on and on. And you think, well, they would only want the best for me, so this must be the best path. No, often they're looking out for their own needs and could care less about you. If anything your friend tells you to do goes against what God says to do, don't do it. It's a very easy concept, but it's hard to apply when you have someone in your ear that doesn't take no for an answer about anything. So just being like most humans are, Balak tried again. Numbers 22:15, he says, this time he sent a larger number of even more distinguished officials than those he had sent the first time. They went to Balaam and delivered this message to him. This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anything stop you from coming to help me. I will pay you very well to do whatever you tell me. Just come and curse these people for me. What does he do? Why do you think he sent more distinguished officials? Peer pressure. What does that appeal to if you're a person and all these distinguished officials that everybody knows is coming and asking something of you? Does that not feed your ego? Yes, look at these people. They need me. They're coming to ask me this. This is great. I must be really something because now he's not only rolled out all these officials to come see me, he's up the money. He's going to give me more money to curse these people. You know what? Probably ought to ask God about this again. He might have been mistaken. You know, maybe that's what it is. But here's what Balaam says. He says, he responded to Balak's messengers. Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. Notice he's using the word, it's the Lord my God, so that's got to make it even better. But stay here one more night, and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. Now listen, is that not a cop-out? The Lord my God. But I'll ask him again just in case you guys, you know, in case God was wrong the first time. I'll ask him again in case God really thinks that I need to have this boatload of money you're offering me and all the honors and things that come with it. So he said, I'll ask him again and see if he has anything else to say to me. That night, God came to Balaam and told him, since these men have come for you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do. Well, how about that? He asked God, and God changed his mind a little bit there. God originally said, don't go with them, etc. And God's now like, okay, you can go with them, but you can only do what I tell you to do. Have you ever done that with your kids? You can go, all right, we'll go to the store, and we'll go do this, but you have to mind me and do exactly what I say to do. Have you ever made that promise? Have your kids ever worn you down into doing something, and you say, okay, we'll go, but you have got to be good and do what I say, and we're not going to buy a toy, okay? Ever been in that situation as a parent? Hey, our kids will wear us down as well asking us things. You know, yes, can we please go? No, Cassie's not here. We're not going to Disney in December. I don't care how many times you ask. Now, just teasing, Wendy will get mad because we should go every week, right? But hey, we do. We get worn down from peer pressure, from our children, from our spouses, from our friends, from everything. But sometimes God allows circumstances to develop to get our attention. You see, I think God has a plan here for Balaam. He's going to let him go do these things, but he's got to, something else happens, and we see this in the very next part of the scripture from Numbers 22:21. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry that Balaam was going, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. Now, wait a minute. Didn't God just tell him to go? That's really not fair. God, you told me to go, and now you're mad at me. Well, what's up with that? That's not fair, is it? Well, the thing is, in all of this, God told him to go, but God knew Balaam's heart. Balaam is still trying to get the money and honor He's not doing this to honor God and just going to do whatever God wants him to do. God knew his heart and knew what was going on. And it angered God that, what was he doing to God? He was trying to do to God the same thing that Balak was trying to do with Balaam. He thought, if I sweet talk him, if I'm nice and say, yes, God, I will only do what you ask me to do. He thinks he's tickling God's ears and that God doesn't know any better. And that, hey, if I tell God this, he'll bless me. How many of us have been guilty of that? God, if you will just do so-and-so, I will do thus. We're all guilty of that. God, if you will just get me through this crisis, I will never do it again until the next time it happens. Hey, that's what happens to us. We're human, and we do that. We try and convince God that we need these things. But it angered God because of Balaam's heart and his attitude. So he sent this angel to stand and block the roadway. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it to back into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and crush Balaam's foot against the wall. Now, so far this is not going so well. So far, we're going down the road on our mission, and this crazy donkey I'm riding, and I think he had to be the one that Shrek's donkey is modeled after, because he's just crazy. You're going along, and the donkey just decides, I'm going to go and run out in the middle of a field, and I'm not going to go back. So he beats the poor animal and gets it back on the road, and he goes again, and he gets to this narrow place, and the donkey, you know, you can imagine riding along on the back of the donkey, and he goes and slams him into the wall and crushes his foot against the wall. Well, by this time, I would be getting a little ill with my donkey as well, you know. Because you're thinking, this stupid, stubborn animal, what is wrong with him? So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. He just flat laid down and would not move. Now, can you imagine this scene, how silly? You've got to think, we're feeding ego too. And I sometimes wonder if God's just having fun. Do you think God maybe has fun with us sometimes? Because here's this guy, it's all about ego. He's promised all this money. He's got all the officials in the world on it. And now he's on this great mission to do what they think, because he is so fantastic. He can curse people at will. And now he's sitting in the middle of the road on a donkey that's laid down, and he's doing like this. Okay, well, what am I going to do? Do you think that might have been a little embarrassing? I think that would... Hey, I can tell you from a guy's point of view, that's like your car breaking down on the side of the road. And it's like, you know, and then when that happens to me, you know, you guys are wonderful here. You're always concerned about me. I've had this happen. I'm so sad that Chris Caldwell isn't here to hear this morning. He calls me later and says, hey, was that you broke down I saw this morning? Well, I could have come back and got you later. I said, it might have helped if you called then, Chris. We have laughed about that. And then I get home with several people. But one of our friends said, hey, was that your car I saw on the side of the road this morning? Yeah, glad you stopped. Thanks. That's embarrassing, you know, when something breaks down and you're trying to be the hero of the story. But here they are. They're trying to do this, and this crazy donkey has laid down. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Say, what? Not only have I got a donkey that's laying down, now it's speaking to me. Okay, this is just getting crazy. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. Ah, what's Balaam really upset about? Looking bad in front of his peers. That's the reason he's so mad at the donkey. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you. Now, number one, that's like killing the goose that laid the golden egg. If you got a talking donkey, that's a pretty good thing to have. I mean, why would you kill the talking donkey? I don't understand that part of this. No matter how mad I am, I'm enough of a businessman to think, I can make money with talking donkey, okay? We'll put him in a movie with Shrek and I'll be a millionaire. But hey, he said, no, he wants to kill him. He's so mad. He said, but I'm the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered, appealing to his human kindness, I suppose. Have I ever done anything like this before? Well, no, Balaam admitted. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Now, again, I like to bring this out anytime we talk about angels. Angels are not sweet, naked baby little cherubs that have the little wings and they float around and they're all so happy, or it's not this beautiful woman standing there Angels are God's warriors. Anytime we see in Scripture that an angel appears, 99.9% of the time, people are terrified by the power that is displayed through these angels. So you've got this angel standing here with a sword before him. And that's what the donkey is seeing that Balaam did not. And so Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. He said, "Why did you beat your donkey those three times?" the angel of the Lord demanded. Okay, so you've got this big, powerful, angelic being asking, "Why did you beat your donkey?" "Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me," God speaking through the angel. "Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I certainly would have killed you by now and spared the donkey." Well, that's an ego deflator, isn't it? My crazy talking donkey is going to be spared and the angel is going to slay me with the sword. That should tell you a little bit that you might want to check up on what you're doing in life when the angel tells you that. So, okay, we've gone through this crazy situation and Balaam is, you know, "What do I do? You know, angels against me, God's against me, even my talking donkey's against me." So here's what Balak sends back as a message. "Didn't I send you an urgent invitation? Why didn't you come right away?" Balak asked Balaam. "Didn't you believe me when I said I would reward you richly?" Balaam replied. "Look, now I've come, but I have no power to..." And this is Balaam replying. He says, "Look, now I've come..." He went on with his journey and met with Balak. "But I have no power to say whatever I want. I will speak only the message that God puts in my mouth." So after this experience, he continued on his journey, went to Balak, and he showed up, but he's late. Balak's freaking out. "We've got this horde of people over here that are going to come and devour my people, going to come and get everybody around us, and you're out goofing around with your talking donkey on the way to see me. I don't care about that story. I want to know what you're going to do for me right now and why you were late." And Balaam explains, "Hey, I can only do what God allows me to do." So they go through this process, okay? And this is where your friends can be persistent, especially if there's something they're wanting you to do or there's something in it for them. Balak and Balaam go through this thing of trying to curse these people three times. Each time, in different areas of the land, they go, and Balak sets up Balaam and says, "Okay, go for it now, curse them." Said, "Sorry, God says we can't curse them. He's going to bless them." So they go three times to curse them, and in each instance, God said, "No, I'm going to bless them instead." So not only now has Balak been able to get Balaam to go and try and curse them, his plan has totally turned around because the people he's trying to curse, this horde of multitude of people that he's afraid of, God has blessed the multitude against him three times. That would be more than a little discouraging, I'd say, you know. Here it is, I've got this plan, and God has just absolutely messed this up, you know. And this is where things really get messy, is when we have friends that are trying to get us to do something that God doesn't want us to do, God can come between us and our friends' plans. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life. Many of you that are Christians, if you have non-Christian friends, there will be conflicts with them at times because they have a different set of values and ideas of the way things should go. And oftentimes, that's what happens, is they want you to do something you shouldn't. And God kind of steps in, fouls up the plan. And do you know what our friends, 9 times out of 10, do they say, "Well, you know what, I respect your faith and I'm glad this happened"? No, they are furious because you used to be fun, you used to want to party, we used to do all this great stuff together. Well, you're just a stick-in-the-mud jerk of a Christian, you're like all those other people because you won't go with me and help me buy dope. I mean, loan me money. Hey, there's an ulterior motive a lot of time, and these people want something from you, and they're frustrated because you have defeated and thwarted the plan to get them what they want. And that is exactly what happens here. It says, King Balak flew into a rage against Balaam. He angrily clapped his hands and shouted. Can you imagine this? "I called you to curse my enemies, and instead you've blessed them three times. Now get out of here and go back home. I promised to reward you richly, but the Lord has kept you from your reward." Notice what else we did. Now it's God's fault you're not getting the money. Isn't that a little subtle twist, just a little dig to make you question your faith in God? Yeah, all you had to do was curse these silly people. Now you got in and got all that religion and stuff and all that junk. Well, you ain't getting the money now. You ever have friends do you that way? Yeah, it's God's fault. You're not getting this because you're doing that Christian thing. You'd be a lot happier if you just turned your back on that whole God thing. We'd have a lot better time. Hey, you wouldn't have to worry about that. Wouldn't have to worry about tying your time up, going to that church on Sunday morning and giving your time and money and talents to them. That's just crazy. That's all right. It's the Lord that's keeping you from doing what's good and what's making you happy. Sometimes what makes us happy is what God keeps us away from, because happiness and joy are two different things. Sometimes we need to separate that and realize that true joy comes from doing what God wants us to do, not just what makes us happy. But oftentimes, bad friends persuade us to go against God's will. They will often keep on and keep on. Look, he tried three times to get Balaam to do something that clearly God was saying was wrong. But here's the real thing that we have to look at in this case, is that Balaam was motivated by the wrong things in life. And you know what? He eventually gave in. Now, you might ask, how in the world could that happen? Now, God knew Balaam's motivation was money and ego and being the center of attention. And he did all these things to try and show Balaam that was not the path of life. And that's not what it's all about. But Balaam refused to listen. He is still driven by money and pride. So you know what he did? God had promised he wouldn't curse those people. So Balaam came up with an ingenious plan. If God won't give me the ability to curse them, let's figure out a way to make them curse themselves. How's that sound? And that is exactly what he did. That is the part of the story we never hear. We hear the talking donkey. We very rarely hear the three times that he tried to curse them. But we really don't hear this rest of the story that's hinted at even throughout the New Testament in places. Listen to this verse from 2 Peter. It says, talking about the people of God, they have wandered off the right road and followed the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. Going in, I got this a little out of order. Balaam could not bring a curse against God's people, but he could trick them into cursing themselves. And this is in Revelation 2:14. It says, "But I have a few complaints against you," talking about a church. "You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin." What about that? If I can't curse you, maybe I can throw enough temptation in front of you that you'll do it yourself. That is a powerful tool that someone can use against you. You often heard the saying, we're our own worst enemies. That's very true. And in this case, this is exactly what happened to the people of Israel, is they gave in to temptation. Going on in Numbers 31:16, it says, "These are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount Peor. They are the ones who caused the plague to strike the Lord's people." Not only were they cursed because of this eating food offered to idols, and there's just the sexual immorality of what they were doing with the people of the land, God sent a plague upon them. Now, again, in the grand cosmic scheme of things, it doesn't seem fair, does it? Oh, King Balak there, he still got what he wanted, didn't he? He didn't directly get them cursed, but they cursed themselves. That doesn't seem fair. But God is a just God, and sometimes things happen that we don't understand why he did it. You know, what happens there? You know, and here's another verse about Balaam from Jude chapter 1. It says, "What sorrow awaits them, for they fall in the footsteps of Cain." You know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain, who killed his brother. "Like Balaam, they deceive people for money, and like Korah, they perish in the rebellion." You know, God realizes, too, in Balaam's case, this goes back again to reinforce about he wanting to deceive people for money and being a prophet for hire and those sort of things. But, you know, in all of this, the reason I wanted to bring this story out this morning and share so much detail in it and show you is I can show you better how to judge what not to do than I can what to do. When I know what not to do sometimes, that's a big help of learning what to do. You know, the old story is in banks and stuff that you recognize a counterfeit bill when you're handling it because you've handled so many of the real thing that you recognize the difference. And that's what we need to look at here. You know, when you're doing the right things over and over and you realize that these wrong things, when they come, you know, you'll start to recognize them. And when they come against you, you can think, Now, if somebody's trying to motivate me with money and fame to do something God doesn't approve of, is that a good thing or not? Well, it really shouldn't take us that long to figure that one out. But sometimes relationships and emotions and so many things get in the way of that, it makes it difficult. But, you know, how do we know when friends are providing us with wise counsel? It's just like the Google thing I was talking about. There will be friends, especially in this day and time in our culture in the United States of America, if you're having problems with your wife, they will tell you one of two things. You have got to divorce her. There's somebody else out there for you. You deserve to be happy. Don't live in misery. Dump him or her and get away from them. Or somebody will tell you, hey, you should stay married to that person. You made a covenant and a promise before God, and you guys should stick through it through thick and thin and work it out to honor God and to honor your commitment to him and to each other. Now, which one of those do you think God is more pleased with? You see, you start seeing these things, but you get these two pieces of advice, and you have to weigh them against something. And the only thing I can tell you to weigh them against is what scriptures tell us. Let's look at James chapter 3, verse 17. It says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. There are some key things in there. If you're looking to whether you're getting godly advice, counsel from your friends, it should make you want to do these type things. It should be based in things that are pure, for things that are peaceful and gentle, willing to yield to others. That's a big one. Willing to yield to others means give of myself in order to enable someone else to be better. Not to always be looking out just for number one, but to be able to be sacrificially giving and helping others. You know, you're full of mercy and good deeds, and we don't show favoritism because, you know, think of all these things and how they related to Balak. You know, first of all, it wasn't peace-loving. They wanted to curse and kill people. It wasn't gentle. He wasn't willing to yield to others unless it was for money, which showed favoritism because he was wanting to do this because of his ego and being popular and showing favoritism. You know, and these people weren't sincere. They were only motivating Balaam because they knew he was a prophet for hire that would do it through money. You know, there certainly wasn't peacemaking and righteousness involved in this process. So, you know, if you looked at those attributes, those things that God admires in us, none of that matched up with what was going on in Balaam's life. Had he only looked at these things, but you know, he had one thing going against him. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a true follower of the Lord. He said he was, but he was not. You will run across those people in your life, in your relationships as well, that claim to be followers of God. If they give you advice that is directly contrary to the scriptures, know that that's not from God. God never conflicts himself on what he has given us in the written record, in the Bible, those stories. He's not going to tell you to do something against that and then say, oh, well, times have changed. It's different now, you know. I don't believe that part of the Bible. You know, that was written for other people. We don't do that. There are things that were written as an Old Testament covenant. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that God had just to show some specific laws to show his people were set apart. But God himself has never changed what he values. And it's always a peace and love and gentleness and being sincere and being a peacemaker and being righteous. Those are the things that he desires for us. So what are some practical ways to receive wise counsel? I always like to leave us on a practical term. We've talked about all this. Now, how do I do it? It's one thing to talk about. It's certainly another to do it. First one is to pray. I think we need to pray to God. We always say, pray to him every day. How about every minute, every second, anytime you need to make a decision, you pray to God and ask him, I need counsel, God. I need advice. Please show me through something. You know, if you want to send an angel or a burning bush, that's okay. It'll probably freak me really out. You know, might just give me a little verse in the Bible as I'm reading that means something to me, or have a friend put a word in my ear that's good. But yeah, God, I need some counsel, and I'm praying to you to ask me. Read the Bible. Here are some very clear examples just from one story of what we can learn about how to handle friends, how to handle pressure, how to handle offers of money and fame and what it means versus what God wants for our lives. It's all right there in the Bible if we will read it and try and put some of these concepts together in our life. The third one, this is where Journey Church and our ministries come in. hang around other people who are trying to honor God. If you want to be what God wants you to be, hang around people that have that same desire. Don't hang around people that don't like God. I'm not saying you can't have friends that aren't Christians. We could never be witnesses in the world if that was true. But I'm just saying, those that you take counsel from, those that are your close friends, try and look to emulate people who are trying to emulate God, if that makes sense. That way you're trying to go on the right path and do things. We have some opportunities that we have our student ministry here. That is a fantastic place for students to come, be around other students, and be around gifted leaders who will teach them the right thing and give them godly counsel in their lives in the hard, hard times of middle school and high school when there's so much peer pressure. This week, got an event. We're going to have a youth student Halloween party on Wednesday night. Dress up in your favorite costumes this week. Come to the student party. Hang out. Have a good time. Invite your friends. Maybe you're the one that you feel that, hey, I'm far enough along this path now, I need to be influencing my friends for good, and I need to be the godly counsel they seek. Maybe that's God's telling you, I need to invite my friend that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know how to follow him. Maybe I should invite them to this cool activity, and they'll come and we can hang out, and they can see we're not all weird Christians, that we're very similar, and maybe I have something to offer them in my life that God can use me. Just one example, this Wednesday night, you know, you can come to the student meeting, dress up, have fun in your Halloween thing. I'm sure, will we have treats, guys? Will we have food and treats? Of course we will. The world revolves around food and treats around here, which, by the way, as you leave, be sure and get some more treats. We have a armload of goodies left out there. If you'd like something as you leave out today, feel free to take you a sausage and biscuit for lunch or whatever you'd like. There's some goodies out there. But that's just one way. Another way, men. The Bible often talks about men being leaders in their home and leaders in the church. How do we lead if we're not around other godly men? You sure can't look at the examples that society gives us of people, because those that seem to have the most power are most often very corrupt. We can't look at that. So we need to hang out with other guys. Again, opportunity. Next Saturday morning at 8:30 at the Ryan's over here in Hickson, we're going to have a men's breakfast get together. Now, we're not going to go in there and have a big speech and, you know, have an hour's worth of teaching and sit there and not let you enjoy your meal and fellowship. This is a time for a bunch of guys who want to learn how to more closely follow God and get to know others within Journey who have the same desire to come together, eat a good breakfast over there, hang out, talk a little bit about God, talk about sports, talk about whatever we enjoy, and just get to know each other. So 8:30 next Saturday morning, there's your opportunity. Got a ladies' retreat coming up. There's another opportunity. Guys, that one's not for us, but you ladies can get together. You know, I have applied to speak at that every year we've had it and have not been invited yet. I'm so disappointed because they always eat good. So it's a good thing, you know. But anyway, ladies, you have an opportunity there. But the final thing I want you to leave you with this morning is we've got to be willing to change our path as needed. That's the hardest part for us is we start receiving this godly counsel, and I look, and the path of my life, just like the path Balaam is on, is not the one God wants you to go down. And Balaam ignored it. He ignored it till God came and had a direct interaction with him through an angel to tell him, you're doing the wrong thing. And that needs to be our prayer today, that we quickly recognize when there's things going on that we're going down the wrong path, that God will direct us towards the right path. And use people to help us, use people, use prayer, use the scriptures, use all those things to mold us into the people we need to be and point us down the right path. And sometimes when you go down that path, I will be honest with you, you will lose friends, you may lose relationships in your family, but then that gives you something to pray about and work on. You know, it's a hard thing. We have people here that live with spouses that aren't committed Christians, and I know they struggle, but they do it because they want to be a witness to that spouse. So guys and ladies, let's dedicate our lives to doing the things that God would have us to do and being the people we want to be and listen for that godly counsel and crave that and try and be around those people that offer that. So maybe someday you can go out and you can be that to someone else and be able to do that. So band, if you guys would come up and finish out for us as I pray. Thank you guys for your attention this morning. I hope you found this an interesting story. I really enjoyed teaching this one. And let's just pray for God's influence and power in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, Lord, that Jesus came and died in our place so that the sins, the things that we do, God, that offend you on a daily basis, that we don't have to pay the penalty for, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that. He died and rose again on the third day, and our sins are covered if we will simply follow him and believe in what he has done for us, God, that we can be saved and have eternal salvation and an eternal home in heaven with you that can never be taken away from us. And I pray if there's any here that need to make that decision, God, please, Lord, we just pray that you'll touch their hearts this morning. They'll open their hearts to you and make that decision to follow. And God, for those of us that have already made that decision and want to follow you, Lord, I pray that you will show us how to follow you more fully, to be more like Jesus, to be Jesus to the people around us, God. That is our prayer today as we seek that counsel from our friends and people around us, God, that you will have them be the influence to us and us be the influence to others that we need to be, God. And as we pray and dismiss, God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.